because today is my birthday.
Woo! Turning 20, first year of university. What was Chopin like then?
I was someone who, I guess, was learning how to become a man. In other words, that things in life is so much more bigger than you can think. You just have to be willing to explore what that looks like. My 20s, unlike a lot of people, my 20s was filled with marriage off the bat, 22, two children, 23, and 23, 24, I remember. And I say this right now, but those years were very, very tough. Those years were very much, I call them diamond shaping years. You're challenging, you know, I'm Nigerian, I'm Nigeria to come last. Those simple words of you just believing in me, even though our circumstances at that point in time was not what we were talking about, just spurred me on. 30s started off with overcoming. And what I was thinking that felt so big and impossible and ridiculous at that point in time, at 750 a day, to where I am now, are two vast worlds apart, miles apart. Says that every time you reach the peak of one mountain, you are the valley of another one. My name is Chokwe Foluwa. Like, give thanks to God. That's who I am.
And welcome to Everyday Leadership, a podcast where you get to listen and learn how to lead yourself personally and professionally through the lessons and life experiences my guests share, in the hope that it challenges and inspires you to lead yourself from the inside out and not the outside in.
Welcome to Everyday Leadership. And you know, normally you'll have had an episode the day before. I decided to hold it back a bit because today is my birthday.
Woo!
And normally I'm actually not the biggest like birthday celebration kind of person, but my wife has tried to change that side of me over the last 20 plus years. And she's like, you know what? It's your birthday on Wednesday. I'm turning 40. I'm putting it out there. I'm turning 40. It's a special one. Why don't we do something different on the podcast? And that's what we're going to do. She is going to run this. She's going to ask me a number of questions. I haven't got a clue what's coming. So I'm here again. You know, this is probably the third episode we've done together. It's always great. It's always a lot of laughter. People enjoy it. So we're going to do it again. So I'm a wonderful, amazing partner, best friend, encourager, motivator, prayer warrior, wife, Shireen Agbalusi. And I'm going to hand over to you, brother.
Oh, shucks. That was a lovely introduction. And happy birthday. You are not the birthday person. I am definitely the birthday person in this relationship. So I love birthdays, not just my own. I stretch mine out. And I think over the years, we've slowly got you to the point where like celebrating your birthday and marking the day has become a thing by force. And I want to throw it back, first of all. So the first birthday that we celebrated together, you turned 20. And yeah, throw back to that birthday. Turning 20, first year of university, what was Chopin like then?
You know, I think there are elements of me that have not changed. I was still someone who asked a lot of questions. I was someone who was very curious as to what I'm capable of. And I was someone who, I guess, was learning how to become a man. That's probably the best way I'll put it. There were still a number of elements to me where I was very childish in the way that I thought, in the way that I approached life. I was slowly starting to let go of recognizing that designer goods are not going to be the thing that helped me stand out and be recognized. It was a very, very slow, painful process. I was starting to understand the how important it was to be value aligned to friends and a partner and different things along those lines. I was starting to really come into my own. I think I'll probably put it that way, with a hint of curiosity. When I went to university, I studied economics, but I studied economics with a view of, I don't know where this is actually going to take me. And I wasn't worried about that. I was one of those people that went to university without a fear, as crazy as it might sound, to be like, oh my gosh, I need to get a first and it's going to meet me X, Y, Z. It's very much like, I'm going to university, I know I'm going to do well, but actually the social settings and meeting other people is what's going to be the most important thing to me. And I think when I look back from then to now, that curiosity about people, about spaces, about recognizing that the destination is not the map is what people tend to say. In other words, that things and life is so much more bigger than you can think. You just have to be willing to explore what that looks like. That side of me is, yeah, it's still there. That has not changed.
It definitely hasn't. So what do you think then you learn about yourself in your 20s that has shaped who you are today?
I don't ever back down from those who are important to me. And my word is my bond. I think those two things have been very important. In my 20s, unlike a lot of people, my 20s was filled with marriage off the bat, 22, two children, 23, and 24, I remember. By the time I had those two kids, navigating life in without first having a job and then having a job that paid less than 12K.
Mortgage at 25.
All those different things. There was so much in those 10 years where it was really around consistently looking at you, looking at those two wonderful children that God has blessed me with, and saying to myself, I want to create a life for all three of you where you're going to learn, you're going to grow, your needs are going to be met, and we're going to be able to do amazing things in the world. And for me to be able to do that, I need to push myself consistently. And I say this right now, but those years were very, very tough. Those years were very much, I call them diamond shaping years, where there's a lot of things that got chiseled off me really, really quickly. And I was forced to either sink or rise to the challenge. I'm a person that rises to the challenge. You know, I'm Nigerian, and I generally come last. So we gotta do what you gotta do. But I had you right next to me. We will have conversations, and I still to this day remember me saying to you when things were really, really low and we didn't have anything whatsoever. And years when we were at university, we'd talk about what our life would be, but what we were living was so far removed from that. And I'll say to you, like, it's not always going to be this way. And you all tend to be like, I know, and I know you. And those simple words of you just believing in me, even though our circumstance at that point in time was not what we were talking about, just spurred me on. You know, so many times I'll speak to God, I'm like, Lord, I don't know, but keep on going. That encouragement from God and that faith from God, that encouragement from you, those children, just spurred me on, because I did so much. Like, the early years I had, I used to sell Nintendo, what are they called? Wiis from China, because there were none available in the UK. I used to drop ship them to make some money. I used to sell phones. Then I was marking exam papers. Like, I'll come home 8-9 hours from work, spend some time with the kids, and everyone goes to bed. And I'll be up for 4 or 5 hours marking exam papers. Man, those days were tiring. You know, the days when I was working in London and I was staying at my parents' house then, and Isaiah was still little and I only got to see him a couple of times a week, and you would come down sometimes and you leaving, or me leaving early morning, was such an emotional wrench and pulling us apart. And to say, it's not always going to be like this. And when you look back now to those words that I used to say to where we are right now, and it's like, wow, we're living such a very, very different life. That's why I said familiar with the chiseling years, the diamond form years, where I was just cold, you know? And God was just like, you've been called to do this. You've been called to raise this family, and I'm going to give you everything that you need. But that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. You're going to have to fight through it and deal with some foolishness at work sometimes. And Lord knows there were so many conversations we had, and I'm calling them like, baby, these people need a lick in their backside. Like, this is just ridiculous. But get up again, you go, you push through, and you just keep on fighting forward. So those 10 years were powerful. They were really, really what shaped me, molded me, made me who I am. But I think more importantly, also helped me to rediscover how much of my journey was necessary to be able to impart on other people. There were so many things that I know that I went through and navigated that I've been able to help and support so many of my other friends. There were so many things that I went ahead and I went through that when me were having conversations and I was challenging you and I was pushing you, it was because like I'd been there and I'd done it and you felt it. And it's not like, oh, I'm telling you to do something that I've not necessarily done. So there was just so much in those 10 years that most people didn't know. You know, because for a while, it's been like 5-6 years, I just went quiet. I literally was just in a world of my own. We were in a world of our own, shall I say, just trying to raise a family, provide for a family, and navigate life. And most people could not relate to that. Most of my friends could not relate to what we were going through at that point in time on our journey. But they were still there in their own way, shape, or form. So it was not easy.
Yeah, because life looked very different for most 20-something-year-olds that we were friends with and had in our lives at that time. So it was really difficult to find people that could really understand. We really only had like each other and our parents and so on that could really understand what we were journeying through. So how did your 30s look different then to your 20s?
My 30s started off with overcoming. I think it was my 30th birthday. I started to do this yearly challenge where every year I want to do something that really, really scares me and steps me outside my comfort zone. And 30, I think it was running that I picked up. And because I hated running for 20 plus years, I avoided it. Cross country, I was MIA. Like, you will never fit. In fact, when you ran 4 or 5 years ago for charity, when you did a half marathon, I remember, and people are like, are you ever going to do this? I'm like, no. Like, yeah, go Shireen. But what the hell are people running for? Like, unless I'm chasing me, he just doesn't make no sense to me. So that was my stance. But there was something around that where I'm like, no, I can't. I don't ever want to have anything have a hold of me. That's just how I operate. So I stepped into that. I started to run and I tried to do the couch to 5K thing. I think that lasted about 3 days. You know, me and instructions, we don't work that well. And I started to create my own plan. And me just starting to want to run ended up becoming like 2 half marathons, a marathon, running 6 miles every morning, and just became a way of life. But more importantly than a way of life, it became a space where I could just, instead of pouring into me, God could pour into me. It was just me, my thoughts, devotional in the morning, praying, God just showing me so much stuff that he wanted to step into. And every single major leap I've taken in my last 10 years, I think they all came when I was running. That's when I just had that inclination, I had that conversation with God, and then that led to me stepping outside of my comfort zone. That led to me leaving work about 8-9 years ago. Bearing in mind, like I said, after those first 10 years were tough and journey was ridiculous, but I've gone to a position where it was a good company. They loved me, my manager really liked me, they were moving me up. They gave me an offer to stay, 6-figure salary, all that kind of stuff. But I felt called to do something completely different. And I listened to that call. I say that very quickly, but it was not easy listening. But I listened to that call And I stepped outside of that and I launched my first company. And that ran for a number of years. And then while I was doing that, I started my second company and again, shut my old one down, which was doing well at that point in time. But again, it was listening to that call of fully going into what God has called me to do and led me to doing what I'm doing right now. I used to write down like, oh, in about 8 years time or 9 years time, I'd love to be contracted. In fact, I remember just last week, a diary entry flashed on my phone because I have a digital diary. And it reminded me of what I wrote down 8.5 years ago. And my thing was, I want to be in a position where I can earn $750 a day and that'll be my day rate. Now, let's just say my rates right now.
You ain't getting out of bed for $750.
I know, you know. The rates right now are very, very different. But I say that to say, the way that we think and what I was thinking that felt so big and impossible and ridiculous at that point in time at $750 a day to where I am now are two vast worlds apart, miles apart, chasms apart. You know what I'm saying? So when you're moving through life, being always be able to dream big and then dream bigger and then dream bigger. And I think there's a saying that says that every time you reach the peak of one mountain, you're the valley of another one. And I think that's what life has been about. Being willing to not stay in my comfort zone. Like the challenges I've talked about, apart from me, like stepping into work and all that kind of stuff, it's been around, like did a boxing match. Again, scary, had you there, had the kids there, had friends from work there, friends from other places. And in my head, I was thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to get knocked out. Especially the person I was fighting who had already done this before. So they were really, really good. I won the boxing match. You know, it's been things like going to Ghana and riding, 450 miles, wherever that we did, having never, ever ridden on a road bike and only training for a couple of months because I was sick for like a month of those training with COVID. But yet we managed to do that and raise money and bless so many different people.
Jumped out of a plane.
I was skydiving. I did that. That was amazing. Growing up was scary. It's things like that. I remember at times when we used to talk about, oh, we'd love to take our kids to this place or to this country or to go to Disneyland. And they just became the norm for us. They became the things that we did, that we worked through. You in particular, even seeing you just rise, like for me, that's been one of my biggest blessings, because it's not just about me and what I'm doing. It's around who in your circle, who around you is also being elevated. And for me, I always go back to who around you is elevated. The closest person to you should also be doing their thing and pushing up. It's not just about me. We're in a partnership together as we are navigating. And seeing you being able to step outside of the schools and the environments that you were operating previously and take those skills and transfer them into the church environment, into a national movement, into making an impact on so many hundreds and thousands of lives of people in an environment where you don't see a lot of women, let alone Black women. You see just doing your thing. For me, it's such an amazing thing to be able to do. And I always remember the day you told me, it's like, the reason why I was able to step out is because you had the faith to be able to do that first and lead the way. So it's been things like that where for me, that's life. Like I see so many of my close friends now, like Maz and Andy, David, all these guys that we all came up with, and we used to dream and laugh about, oh, life would be X, Y, D. And everyone's doing it now. That for me is such a beautiful thing. And I think one thing just came to mind as I was talking, someone asked me, where did this really like start for you to have the audacity to dream big and do things differently? And I think it actually happened, I'm not sure I was 30 or 31, or maybe I've been before that. I paid off my student loans. I'm not sure you remember that. And I remember saying to you, like, babe, I want to pay off my student loans. And you're like, well, why? Like, we don't have enough money. So we're struggling to pay for our kids' like private school fees and everything else we're doing. Why do you want to take on? I was like, there's something around that debt in particular that I think is important to be able to do something that feels impossible. And I want to do that and I want to try and do it. And I did it. And I remember doing that first time around. And in me typical fashion, I guess, I did it and it's done. I moved on. I remember telling you, like, what? And you, and it's just like, why are you just moving on like that? I remember telling my friends and they blasted it everywhere. They put it in our groups. I shopped a pay for it. And everyone was hyped about it. And in my head, I was like, Ross, it's a big deal. But it's things like that where I've always had big challenges. And I think for me, it's always been God just using that to say, for something that seems impossible, I want to show you that's possible. But you need to have that big, audacious, hairy goal. And you move towards that time and time again. The biggest hairy, audacious goal that I have is to have a loving marriage and to be a wonderful father. And that is something that I don't always get right, but I'm striving towards. And that striving towards achieving that goal is what I feel has led me to achieve all the different things that I have in the last 10 years.
And you do both of those things very well. And I think one of the things that I always found like really attractive about you is your ambition. Like you always had goals and dreams and passions and you were always moving towards them, even though it might not look how you wanted it to look. It might have taken longer than you wanted it to take, but you always was clear about what you wanted life to look like and you had the faith to go after it. And obviously I know how important your faith is to you. And you mentioned, as you were talking about those times with God, like when you're out running and downloading from him and talking to him sometimes, you know, you had some serious talks with God about what life looks like and all of that. But I remember in a recent podcast episode that you did, you talked about like the power of the pause and you talked about like your first mindset shift at like age 14 or 15, where you really felt God like just speak into your life and change your perspective. For anyone who didn't listen to that episode, can you tell us a little bit about that and why that was so significant?
That for me was when I reconnected back to myself. Being born in Nigeria, moving to the UK when I was 11. And those first 3 or 4 years as a teenager, I ran away from who I was. I ran away from my name. I ran away from the accent. Ran away from just being Nigerian, in all honesty, because it wasn't cool. It wasn't popular. I was teased. I'm going to put teased in quotation marks because I was also, I could rock, I could fight. So I was very good at knocking people down very, very easily. A lot of people were a lot older than me, they experienced it. So the teacher was to a point where they could do it on the playground, but outside of school, they wouldn't say nothing. But all those different things hurt. And I remember I used to go home on the outside, very strong, very confident, very secure in who I was. On the inside, I used to go home and those words and experiences used to hurt me. They used to affect me. They used to make me feel a particular way. And I think it was that point in time when I went back and just reconnected and just heard God speaking to me. And he was like, what are you doing? You know, the way that you're living, the way that you're showing up, you know you're not happy. Inside, you're not happy. So why'd you keep on doing this? Why are you, why are you intentionally hurting yourself? You're trying to get the applause, the adulation, the praise, the love from friends and from people who on one breath they might do that, but on another breath they'll laugh at you. On one breath they might do that, but on another breath they don't really know you. It's just a lifestyle that you really want to live, and instead going a little bit deeper than that, though, if you look at who you are, what you're about, where you've come from, what your parents have done to be able to get you here, who really are you and whose are you? And I was like, you know what, I'm a child of God. My name is Shokwe Foluwa, like, give thanks to God. That's who I am. So if I am a child of God, why am I trying to impress people who don't know me? Why am I trying to impress people who don't necessarily care about me? Why am I trying to impress people who I'm actually smarter than? people who I can think deeper than. And it might sound a bit braggadocious, but that was the reality of it. Like, who am I really trying to impress out there? The only person I need to be living up to is who I've been called to be, is who utilizing the gifts and talents I've been given and fully stepping into that, rather than living as a limitation and to live uniquely. So that's where that actually came from, in that pause, in that stillness, in that quiet, which was mixed with tears and depression and so much. I heard God speak to me and I reconciled with who I was. And that was the rebirth of me. That was the rebirth of me just stepping into my name, stepping into my nationality and like where I'm from, and just stepping forward and riding out whatever that might look like. And that's why the power of the pause is so important. There's so many, this is probably, I don't know what episode this is, episode 150, 160, that I've had on the podcast. And I've spoken to leaders far and wide, from entrepreneurs to authors to people who start like Comedy Central, who are millionaires to billionaires, so many different people. I've coached so many different clients in all different walks of life. One of the things I can always hold on to throughout their stories are similar. Every single time they stopped doing and they slowed down to listen to something, there's people, some of them are by faith, some of them don't. But that slowing down process and really, really listening and really, really reconnecting, they saw themselves elevate and rise and move in such a quicker way than they expected. But they had to pause, they had to chill, they had to reconnect with themselves, which is scary. And that's why most of us don't do it. But that's what happens when you step into the power of the pause. It helps you to move forward in a unique and authentic way.
If you haven't already, can you please follow the podcast? It really helps us grow and it tells the apps that it's a podcast worth listening to, which the fact that you're listening to means that it is and other people need to know about it. In Apple Podcasts, if you click the three dots in the top right of your app, look for the follow button and click on it. And in Spotify, the follow button should be just below the show's artwork. Now let's get back into today's episode.
Yeah, so true. So what do you think, like, that Chopin 14, 15 year old would have thought that 40 would look like? Like, does it look how you would have expected it to look and feel?
Yes, it looks that way. In the sense that I would have expected to have a loving wife and a beautiful family. Those elements I have. The rest of it, I had no clue. I did always used to say, whatever I do, I know I'm going to make success at it. So I guess, yeah. I can say that a 14, 15-year-old shopper would look back and be very proud of who I've become, because I never went backwards. I always went forwards. And all I've been able to do is build on that reconciliation of myself at 15 and just take it to new heights over and over and over again. And that 14, 15-year-old would probably ask him, like, okay, like, my friend, you're still playing small. There's so much more for you to do. And that voice would be correct. There's so much more that I want to accomplish. I feel like I'm just starting at 40. I feel like I'm just, there's so much that I want to achieve, and not just about me. That I think that's one thing that probably hasn't changed as well. Even from when I was way, like, really, really young, but from when I was 12 in particular, I can remember, my friends would tell you, I've always been that person who, It's not always going to be about me. I want to see every single person around me grow, elevate, rise, step into something. I will challenge you. I will call you out. I don't care how old you are. That element of me has that. I used to be the guy that people come to and just ask me for advice when we were at school. And we were talking about so much stuff. And like, how do you know these things? Like, I don't know. But that was just me. I would ask them questions. I would dig in deep. That element has not changed. And I think that's why that fire is still burning really deep inside of me, because I see so many lives. I see so many people who are still not living up to that potential. And I want to come alongside them and help them to pull what's inside of them out. because then the world wins. You know, we have so many different things that God has given inside, given to us when we were born with gifts and talents. But if we can unearth that, if we can strip back the shell, the doubt, the fear, the insecurities, and unleash that into the world, then we generally win. So I want to do a lot more of that, which is what we're doing through our organization, through the work we're doing with corporates and different spaces. But that drive is there for me, like front and center.
So what are the things that you're doing now that's setting you up for your 50s?
This may sound really, really weird, but I am talking more. What I mean by that is I am someone who, when it comes to what I'm doing and what I'm about, I think, despite having the podcast and doing a lot of videos and all that kind of stuff, I have still played in the shadows, in a sense. And I am learning, and I'm learning, I know for a while that I need to step out. And I need to do what I've done for others. So I need to do what I've encouraged other people to do, which is step out a little bit more outside of the shadows. Because if I'm going to achieve the big, scary, audacious goals that I want to do and build the organization I want to build and help the people I want to help and pour into our communities the way that I want to pour into, I'm not going to do it in isolation. I have to do it with other people. And therefore, for me to identify who those other people are, I need to say a lot more or speak up a lot more around what those goals look like. So I'm doing that. I'm looking out for people I could potentially collaborate with. I'm looking out for people who can mentor me and guide me on my journey, because that's not something I've always necessarily had. I've been a mentor to other people. I still do it right now and I love it. But being able to have that poured into me is something that I definitely want to do a lot more of. So I'm looking at that. I am mapping out what that could look like as well around that 10-year plan. Because by the time I'm 50, I want to be in a position where everything I'm doing, in a sense, is just for fun. And what I mean by that is I'm in a position where my family is completely set up. So if I choose never to ever work again at 50, we can do that. Like, we can chill, we can relax.
You can do that. Some of us have a lifelong calling. You don't retire from Jesus.
You know, but you can do Jesus in different ways. I can do Jesus all the time in the corporate world. So, but it'll be my family are set up from a generational perspective. There are things and infrastructures and family offices and stuff into place that the kids are good, you're good, if anything was ever to happen to me, all of that kind of stuff. And it flows all the way through, so it's not going to be wasted. It's around, we've invested in so many different businesses and community projects that we're seeing that play out and pay out. It's, when I say about having fun, it's I'm doing things where the money's not the big thing. Money is not an obstacle anymore. That for me, because I'm never going to retire. I'm that kind of person. I'll be bored out of my brains. I always find something to do. I always find someone to work with. But it's around just having that freedom. That for me is what those next 10 years looks like. And the pursuit of having that freedom, which to be fair, I do right now. I can get to pick my time, wake up whenever I want, work with clients I want to work, was amazing. But that ultimate freedom that I'm aspiring and working towards, which is creating things for other people within my organization as well, it's gonna take a while. It's gonna take 10 years to do. It's something that when I look at my field in particular, from the UK perspective alone, it's not necessarily been achieved before. So it's also, and that's also scary. It's like, you wanna do something that hasn't necessarily been achieved by a black person that I know of anyway, in the way that I'm thinking about it. Yes, I do. And in the pursuit of that goal, I'm going to learn a lot. I'm going to grow a lot. I'm going to fail a lot. I'm going to make mistakes a lot, but I'm going to keep on moving forward and moving forward and moving forward, because I know that the purpose and the plan that God has put on my heart and why he put that particular plan on my heart for our business is not about me. It's about other people. And therefore, I'm going to move mountains and I'm going to move and plant seeds and get my Moses on and do everything that needs to be done to achieve that goal. And I want other people to come along with me on that journey. So that's what those next 10 years are going to be about. As well as that, I'm going to have a little fun. I'm going to travel. Going to do amazing things with my wonderful wife. We, like this year, for example, we did our marriage course in person for a day. Like, we've been doing this on and off in different settings, virtually, in person a while ago. And all this, we're doing it for this year. We had, 25 couples there, all different ages. It was absolutely amazing. I'd love to do something like that where it's a weekend or a week away in somewhere fancy and exotic. And just spend that time working with other couples where they get that time for themselves, which doesn't always necessarily happen. I would, next 10 years, I would love to, write a couple of books, I'll say it out loud, I'll write a couple of books. That time is coming. The season not yet, but nothing emotional. I'm learning a lot from that. That time and that season is definitely coming. What is next 10 years as well? We're going to have kids who are, 28 and 26. I want to see them fully step into what they've been called in to do and navigate those, navigate life with them if God has not come yet. But ultimately, I want to know that for the next 10 years, I want to pour out as much as I can, all that God has given me, but also be poured into by other people. And that's not something I've always let happen in the past. I think I've been very, very good at pouring out. I've not always been good at getting poured into. And that's something I am working on changing. And that's what those next 10 years are going to look like.
And God can do immeasurably more than you can even imagine. So the next 10 years are going to be great. And I don't know about you, but I think that 40 seems younger than it used to. I don't know if when we were younger, we used to think of 40 and it used to feel like really old. And even when I think about my parents, I think about my mum, like what life looked like at 40 for that generation, I think looks very different for what 40 looks like or can look like for our generation. So what are the things that keep you young?
You keep me young. You know what? People think I'm like, oh, sweet. No, I'm actually being for real. My wife keeps me younger. Let me tell you why. Just good example.
Good family show.
How do you think families are made? Good example. Just 2 days ago, two or three days ago. Two or three days ago, we were at my daughter's school. And we went to a symposium wherever, and we had this leaflet from it. My wife's like, take it. I'm like, no, I don't want it. So she put it on my car. We went back and forth where I ran to her car, put it in back. I went all the way round the building because you have to take a little thing to get out. My wife blocked the road and stopped me from getting out. So she could, and she is sprinted. Past that, she was puffing and panting. She sprinted to put this leaflet on my car, and then Anna took it and I drove all the way to where she was parked. Wait, honest, my son was right next to me. He was laughing his head off, and then eventually, obviously, I won. But that's just like 10-15 minutes. If people saw us, honestly, I don't know what they saw on the cameras. They'll probably call the police. Like, what is this people doing? Just going around. It looked absolutely nuts. But we're just having fun. And we've always had that. We have always had that. One of the things I always said when we got married, we both said it, we want our house to be full of joy and laughter. And even in the struggles and the challenges, they can attest to the fact that, and our kids can attest to the fact that our house has been full of joy and laughter. And that keeps me young. That keeps me going. I like to laugh. And a lot of people say, like, you're a very, very serious person. It depends, but I can be serious, but also I like to be around people who want to have joy in their lives, not people who are just miserable. I don't need none of that. So the laughter keeps me young. My friends keep me young because, again, they are mostly, most of the time, joyful people. I think being conscious about my health also keeps me young. I don't necessarily always keep it down. I'm conscious of it. But that also keeps me young for sure. So I think some definitely a mixture of family, friends, being intentional, like I said, over the last 10 years, or whether it's been running or doing different bits and pieces and just trying to be as healthy as possible, that's definitely kept me young. And I'll probably add the pursuit of something outside of my capability has also kept me young. And people think, well, what do you mean by that? Because that is stressful. That's outside your comfort zone. That's fearful. Like, I was like, yes, it is. But in the pursuit of doing those things, I learned so much more about myself, which helped me to learn how to be able to regulate my stress, learn how to be able to let go of certain baggage that was in mind to carry. And all those different elements are things that make you get old really, really quickly. So the more you can let go of stuff, the more you can learn to be less angry and less frustrated, the more you can learn to just de-stress and learn how to breathe properly and different things like that, you don't age as quickly. And I think that's, I'm still learning a lot. I'm still unlearning a lot. But all those different elements, I think, have definitely kept me young.
Good. So I have some quick fire questions.
Let's go.
For you. Just a few. I'll be gentle. So what's your favorite book?
Well,
my friend, is quick fire.
Bible.
Well done.
Stop that.
Favorite food?
Jollof rice with plantain and supermort.
Best song of all time?
That's a hard one. I'm going to go with Jagged Edge, Let's Get Married, because that's where we came down the aisle to. So I'm going to go with that.
Nice. Best time of the year?
Christmas.
You've already answered this one. Plantain or plantain?
There's only one way to say it. Plantain.
Favorite quote?
Not a quote. I guess it's a phrase that I live my life by. Get out of your comfort zone.
And last one, city break or beach holiday?
Beach holiday.
Let's go. That's great. That's all the questions that I had for you. I told you I'd be gentle. Is there anything that you want to say, like you feel that has been unsaid for your 40th birthday episode?
I want to say thank you, actually. I want to say thank you to everyone listening to this episode. There are going to be so many people who I'll never get a chance to ever meet face to face, ever get a chance to talk to. But in one way, shape, or form, there are so many people who've also been part of my journey. And I think one of the things that I definitely do a lot of is I'm grateful for those people. I'm grateful for those people who have supported me, who have liked, who have commented, who have just helped me to keep going, because it's not always easy. It is not always easy. And there are times when encouragement comes out of the weirdest places at times. So I really, really appreciate it. And when you look at me and look at my journey, especially 4 years ago is when I really started posting videos, and you were there. I hated it. Like for if I want to build my IG page way before that, for like 2 years, no one knew.
Leave
my quotes. No one knew it was my page, because you would not see anything that had my resemblance on there. But I built up this page and I built up this following. And then I felt compelled from those runs by God. And I started posting running videos, and then it led to something else. And then those running videos became the space that I learned to be able to hone thoughts in a very short space of time, which I'm now expanding to keynotes and all that kind of stuff. But it's been people who have been there on that journey that I didn't recognize that's what I was stepping into then, but they've been there. They've called me the egghead shaped person, and all those comments that used to hurt me was me building character to be able to deal with being more in the public limelight. So many people have been me on the journey, whether they thought about it or not, they've been there. So I appreciate that, and I'm thankful and grateful for that. And I think I would end with saying that I start off this podcast by saying I'm doing this with my best friend. And that's not words. That's real talk. Like, we have been on a journey over the last 20 years. And there's no one else on this world that I would want to go on that journey with apart from you, because you have been my rock. Like, God knew what he was doing when he sent me you, because, man, you have pushed me, you have challenged me, you have loved me, you have known when, not all the time, most of the time, to be quiet and just give me my space. And there's, like I said, and I'm a work in progress. There's a lot of things that I get wrong. There are times when I mess up, but we're in this together. And for me to be able to always say, I have peace in my house, it's a blessing. It's something I can never ever take for granted. When I'm home, I'm in my peace state, and my home is with you. So I thank you, I appreciate you, and God willing, I look forward to 40 plus more years together.
Amen, amen. And I want to say well done, like well done for continuing to step out of your comfort zone, to keep pushing, to keep working, building your business, building your brand. And all the stuff you do behind the scenes as well. So there's the upfront stuff, but a lot of the coaching, mentoring, supporting, encouraging that you do, you don't get paid for. You do it out of your love for the people that are around you. So well done for what you've done. From when we celebrated that first birthday, you know, we met when we were 19. That first birthday, I remember I'd done a little picture on your birthday cake from Asda, because that's the level we were on those days, to, you know, the big 40th birthday celebrations that we've got planned this year. But that's all because you've had faith in God and you kept believing that, you know, he had more in store for you, and you kept moving towards that. And the best is still yet to come. The best is still yet to come. So keep going. Well done. And thank you for being you, a great example and role model to other Black men, Black husbands, Black fathers, all of that good stuff. So we love you and appreciate you.
Thank you very much, baby. This is Everyday Leadership. We will see you all next week.
While you're still recovering from that amazing conversation, let me give a quick preview of what we got coming up next week. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out.
I was lucky that I had a family home in London. A lot of other people there was a few people like me, but a lot of the other people on internships, they've got their own flats. Their parents live in the Buckinghamshires and the Shires. Do you understand? Like, they're a whole different class. It's a big class system that you're learning to adapt with. And I remember one time it was Christmas. So everyone was like, oh, so what are you doing for Christmas? At the time I lived in Streatham. They were like, oh, what are you doing for Christmas? Like, where do you celebrate Christmas? So I was like, oh, just at home. And they were like, what, in Streatham Fell? I was like, yeah. They were like, oh, they celebrate Christmas in the ghetto. And so I realized.